In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, this week we opened up the new building and the new footpath, so I hope after the service this morning that you will take time. Can we open up the building, Wendy? Let's get the community centre open, let people see it. If you haven't been in it, go and have a little look. It's beautiful. Thank you to all those who've worked so hard to make it such accommodating place for the community. And feel free to walk around the gardens because these paths are now open. So enjoy that after the service. We had a wonderful start to Lent this week. We welcomed the Methodist circuit and we had our Wednesday service with Holy Communion, the imposition of ashes. And it was really a tremendous service and we were joined by so many of our friends across the circuit. And really it was a tremendous occasion because I guess that many of them will never have been to a service quite like that before, and they really, you know, shared in it and took a part in it. And I think it's a real tribute, a credit to our Methodist friends, the way in which they just became involved. And it was a really lovely service. It was super. And now we start Lent proper, and today is Lent 1, the first Sunday in Lent. What is Lent about? There's a story of it's about repentance and sin, which is very somber. So let me tell you a story. There's a story of a painter. And he painted the house, a little old lady. And he was painting the masonry all over the house. And he was using a lot of paint. So he thinned it down with water. I know, it's wicked. He thinned it down with water. Then he thought, if I keep on watering it down, I'm going to save a bundle. And the old woman won't know the difference. That'll be all right. So he kept watering it down. And when he finished, it started to rain. Beware, your sins will find you out. It started to rain and the paint started washing off the brickwork. And then a voice came from the thundery clouds. Repaint and thin no more. Yeah, there we are, you see. Repentance and sin. We have the first Sunday in Lent. And it's a story I've always read to us of Jesus in the wilderness, and according to Matthew and Luke, Jesus' temptation lasted 40 days that he was in the wilderness fasting. And of course we have the 40 days of Lent. Some of you are going to say, oh, Lent doesn't last 40 days. No, it doesn't. That's because we don't count Sundays. Sundays are little Easters in the midst of Lent. There are times of refreshment when you can do all the things that you can't do on the other day. So we remember Jesus fasting, not literally 40 days. He wasn't fasting for 40 days, otherwise he'd be dead. When we say 40 days, we don't mean literally 40 days. We mean a considerable period of time. Long enough to be hungry. Long enough to be hungry. Long enough to be able to look at the stones around him and say, oh gosh, wouldn't it be nice if that stone was a nice loaf of hovis? To really want to eat and enjoy. And of course the 40 days echoes that period that we had Moses who fasted for 40 days, Jesus being shown to be the New Testament person, and the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, and so we had that important 40 again. And we're told that while Jesus was in the desert, he heard the devil quoting scripture to him. And it challenges Jesus. And the devil begins by saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. And it's quite interesting, actually, because I think it was Shakespeare who said in The Merchant of Venice, the devil can cite scripture for his purpose. The devil can cite scripture for his purpose. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, you throw yourself down. He quotes bits of Old Testament scripture at Jesus to try and get Jesus to do things. To try and get Jesus to use his powers. It's a lesson from Scripture, I think. It's a lesson that for all of us, that Scripture can be used for the wrong reasons. And if you think of all the reasons why Christians over the years have hated people, we always seem to want to make people bad, you know, who are different from us. Whether it's because they're of a different race or a different colour. Or just if they're left-handed, you know, anything. We kind of use differences to divide and make people bad. And often, the way that we justify that is to pick a little piece of scripture. And you have to remember that the oppression of slaves was often justified from scripture, as you can do. And Joan is going to go to Synod this next week. And you think of Synod still debating over whether or not we can make women bishops, you know. The reason for the oppression of women by the church over the years has been justified not because, you know, we say, well, we don't like women, but because of Scripture. We really do like women. We really like them to be able to do this, but we can't because Scripture says so. And Scripture being used to justify our own prejudices. You can use Scripture to justify just about any kind of position that you'd care to mention. And finding the right path is therefore quite difficult. And the choices are not always obvious. Sometimes, you know, sin is quite transparent. You know, should I do this thing or should I do that thing? Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes our choices are difficult ones. And the difference between good and bad isn't obvious. I watched one of the daftest television programmes I've ever watched about a week ago on a Sunday afternoon. It was a programme exploring how our ancestors used to find food to eat in the countryside. And I thought it sounded really, really good, so I thought I'd watch this programme telling you how you could go around the land just finding things, you know, growing there, and eat this stuff. I happen to very much like mushrooms. And so this chappie started talking about mushrooms and how you could go for a wander through the fields and forests and you could find all these wonderful mushrooms. The idea of being able to take Lucy out round Putney Woods and come home with a basket full of mushrooms, it sounded quite enchanting. So I thought, I'm going to watch this while I do the dishes. So I was watching this programme and it was very interesting. He picked all these mushrooms, he took them all back and he got his little camping thing by the side of the forest, and he cooked all these mushrooms up, you know, a little bit of garlic and everything. Oh, that sounds fantastic. And then he said, it was quite, be careful, he said. Be careful. Because you can pick the wrong mushrooms. And if you pick the wrong mushrooms, you will die. I thought, my gosh! Die? And then he wheeled on his colleague, who had nearly died, because he had eaten the wrong mushrooms. And I thought, this is bonkers. Here's the BBC telling people to go out and pick these things. Hospitals across the country should be warned. There could be people being brought in and ambulances who've done nothing other than want to go and pick a few mushrooms and cook them up on a fire because they've been watching this programme. But I thought and I reflected, the difference between a poisonous mushroom and a really nice mushroom, one was a little bit more rounded than the other, you see. So I thought, wow, the choice between great and really bad is, you know, this. I thought, you can't go making these kinds of programmes. This is wicked, not with our money anyway. But I thought about this, and I thought, well, gosh, sin is like that, often. You know, it's not obvious sometimes what the really, I mean, you know, a traffic warden gives you a ticket on your car. It's obviously wrong to run him over. You know, we all know that. We might want to do it. It might be very, very tempting. But it's wrong. You know, I can tell you from this pulpit, you should not do that. But other things are much, much more ambiguous. And they're difficult. And they're things over which we are going to fall out. And I guess Joanie and her colleagues at Synod next week are all going to be getting very, very fractious over stuff which they disagree and which each side can pull bits of Scripture out to justify. Jesus faced really ambiguous temptations in the desert. They weren't so obvious. Look, if you're hungry and you've been in the desert for a long time, it might be a good idea if you have the ability to turn the stones into bread to do so. And think how helpful that would be if you had famines and starving people. You could just go around making all the stones bread. It might seem like a good idea. Of course, it struck to the heart of Jesus' ministry and who he was and the kind of Messiah that he was. And he wasn't just going to be a wonderful miracle worker who was going to engage people by doing tricks. That wasn't Jesus' style. To show off by throwing himself off a building so that people would follow him might seem to be a good thing, but it wasn't. That would lead to an escape from the cross and all the trial and suffering that Jesus was going to go through. Similarly, to overthrow Rome might have seemed a wonderful thing, to gain all the kingdoms of the world. Yet that assuming of human power wasn't Jesus' ministry at all. And so Jesus needed to think very, very carefully about the decisions that he was going to make. And sometimes we have to think very, very carefully in our lives about the decisions that we have to make. And sometimes the choices won't be that easy. And that's what Lent is all about. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't see a little devil on one side and a lovely angel on the other side, the devil saying do this and the angel saying do that, and he went with the devil. Similarly, when we have temptations, we don't see the choices between bad and good in stark terms. We probably, like Jesus, in our minds we think, oh dear, what should I do? And things come into our head, oh, we could do this, oh, we could do that. That's what Lent is all about, thinking about those choices and trying to struggle through and work out the right way for our lives. Sometimes the choices will be easy and sometimes they'll be hard. Is trident a good choice of weapon or a bad one? What should the Christian say? What should my position be? Should our troops be fighting in Iraq or not? Should Christians put punitive taxes on aircraft travel because these things are warming up our planet? These are all things that Christians are going to disagree about. And I've picked big issues here, big global issues, because probably they're the kinds of things we should be struggling with. God probably isn't that bothered about whether or not you give up chocolate for Lent. You know, that isn't the kind of thing that he's going to be really concerned about. But there are other decisions that we have to wrestle with, which are really important. Yeah, sometimes they're going to be about personal morality, but often they're bigger than just me and my little problems. But I do have to come to a position on them. So we ask that our Lenten observance will lead us into a closer walk with Christ. We pray that we will struggle over Lent with the issues as we face them, that we'll share with one another, talk with one another, and pray with one another as we seek the way forward. Our Lent course is operating for 4 Wednesdays over at Putney Heights, and you're all welcome to come and join in that as we think through some issues seriously together. Lent is a time for inner questioning. It's also the time for drawing strength and comfort. And let me just finish with a message of hope and good news. It is difficult. It is hard to make choices. Sometimes we make the right ones, and sometimes we make the wrong things. But we do remember at Lent that Jesus made the right choices. He made the right decisions. Didn't look so at the time. He ended up on a cross for it. But we know now that that was the right way forward. He obeyed God's will, and as a result, sin was conquered for all time. And so, even though we struggle in our own personal lives, our salvation isn't prejudiced upon the decisions that we make. Our hope and our future is built upon nothing less than the wonderful decisions that Jesus made, the salvation that he won for us. And ultimately, all that we have to do is trust in him. Amen.